This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Grace Kelly is a famous name indeed, but we're not talking about the former Princess of Monaco. This Grace Kelly is a saxophonist, an 18-year-old jazz wunderkind from Massachusetts. At age 12, she recorded her first album. At 14, she wrote a score for the Boston Pops. At 16, she went to the Berklee College of Music and continued touring, performing with legends such as Wynton Marsalis and Phil Woods. At 18, she's racked up the accolades, 2 Jazz Artist of the Year nods from the Boston Music Awards, and named Best Jazz Act in Boston by the Boston Phoenix. And that first album she recorded back when she was just 12? Grace Kelly is now on album number 6. Man with the Hat comes out this month. Grace Kelly recently performed live in our studios, and we'll get to the music in just a minute, I promise. But first, a little more of the backstory of this Brookline saxophone wonder.
I mean, I started touring professionally at 12 years old. That's when I started saxophone at 10. This is after trying clarinet and piano, and, you know, those didn't go extremely well. They're difficult for me, you know. But I started the horn, and it was just love at first sound.
Well, you picked up the clarinet, I understand, when you were in fourth grade, growing up in Brookline?
Yeah, because in the Brookline school systems, we pick instruments in fourth grade, so clarinet was my pick. And weirdly enough, we couldn't pick saxophone in fourth grade. You have to get, like, promoted to it, so clarinet is first. Mm-hmm. That's why I started it.
But was music a big part of your home life even
always,
before that?
Totally, always. My mom and dad were always playing music. The TV was never on. A lot of it was the American Songbook repertoire. I was listening to lots of Frank Sinatra and just, like, Broadway music and these beautiful standards. And I would just sing along. And the saxophonist that I heard, because my parents played him a lot, was Stan Getz. Mm-hmm. And I completely fell in love with his sound. And that's still the sound of the saxophone in my head.
Okay, well, we've got a little bit of Stan Getz, your inspiration. Let's hear it. So, Grace, I'm just watching you, and the way that you're into the music, just listening to it now, your head's moving, your fingers are moving. What is it about that smooth sound of his that really just made you fall in love?
You know, I think it's the fact that when Stan plays, I really feel like he's singing to me. I mean, it's just, somebody once said that saxophone is the closest instrument to the human voice, and I really agree with that, and I especially agree when I hear someone like him.
Okay, well, I did promise our listeners that they'd get a chance to hear you.
Oh,
so I don't
want
to
do that after that clip.
I don't want to tease them anymore. But let's see, I mean, it'd be interesting to hear how maybe Stan Getz has been an influence on you and how you speak through your saxophone.
Yeah.
So how about, let's see, Tender Madness,
Perfect.
I believe. That's a ballad from your new album, Mood Changes?
From my latest CD, yeah.
Your latest CD.
Mood Changes,
just tell us a little bit about Tender Madness and then...
Well, I wrote this song when I was 13. Actually, I was in eighth grade. And it kind of has this, if you listen to the show Garrison Keillor, they have this Guy Noir Private Eye section.
I think some of our listeners might be familiar
with
that.
Yeah, I love the radio station and his show. But I wrote this song at like midnight, kind of had this sultry feeling in the air, and that's what the song has. And usually with the band, it's got this really smooth, just sit back and drink your martini kind of vibe.
Well, here's Grace Kelly playing Tender Madness from her latest CD, Mood Changes.
Thank you.
Wow. That was Grace Kelly playing Tender Madness from her latest CD, Mood Changes. You know, that does not sound like an 18-year-old to me. That sounds like a woman who has experienced so much more in life. So how is it that you think, through the music that you compose, what are you tapping into to make that sound?
I mean, I think that it's kind of a funny thing when I'm talk to people about ages and music, and it's a particularly hard thing for me to pick repertoire sometimes because I want to pick, especially if I'm singing it or something like that, words that would relate to my age. And at the same time, when I write music and I compose, I always write from the feeling within me about whatever situation or whatever the song is about. And the only thing I can do is relate upon all the experiences I've had. And I'm sure that when I'm 50, there's going to be a whole lot more, and there's going to be a whole lot more things, which is going to be really interesting to see how that changes my music. Mm-hmm. But for now, some people say, oh, you can't play or you can't sing what somebody who's gone through a lot more life can. And I totally agree because I'm young and I haven't been able to do that. But I do bring a different type of sight and vision from a young person's point of view, and I'm trying to bring to the table whatever I feel comes through the music.
Well, people, many people who are big names in the music world have recognized that in you. I mean, you played with Wynton Marsalis at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Keith Lockhart also asked you to play arrange one of your original tunes for the rhythm section of the Boston Pops, but you decided to take that one step further. What happened?
Yeah, I was a little bit crazy. I was doing a few songs with the Boston Pops as their special guest, opening up for the great Grammy Awards singer, Diane Reeves. And Keith said, I want to showcase your composition skills so we can, work as a quartet or whatever, and let's play one of your songs. And I was just thinking, and I said, well, Mr. Lockhart, do you think I could arrange my song for the whole orchestra? And he just, looks at me like I'm totally crazy. And he's like, well, I mean, have you done that before? And I was like, no. But I would love to try. And he was like, okay, but Grace, this has to be perfect because it's the Pops, And I was like, okay, well, can I still give it a go? And he's like, yeah, I mean, write something, bring it in, we'll see. So I did for the next month. I just worked. I didn't really play at all. I just learned about all the violins and the cellos and the, trombones and everything. And I wrote my 40-page score, and he looked at it literally the day before, because I was going to hear it for the first time that afternoon of soundcheck, which was the day of the performance.
And what year was this?
This was when I was 14.
Okay. So
4 years ago.
Okay.
And he looked at it, went through, and said, yep, looks good, let's do it.
So, I mentioned Wynton Marsalis, but there's also Harry Connick Jr. and Dave Brubeck, Frank Morgan and Phil Woods, I think, also great jazz musicians whom you've performed with. But it occurs to me they're all men. So what's it like for you in a world where we don't actually hear very often of young women who rise so quickly playing the saxophone?
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely, it's a unique thing. And when I was starting the saxophone, I didn't have any inspiration of a woman horn player. So one of my hopes and goals for the future is that I can help break that, the boundary that girls are playing instruments that society thinks is more acceptable. Like, I feel like a lot of girls start playing violin,
or piano,
yeah. Flute. And they're all great instruments. I just wonder, what is it about the saxophone or the trumpet that seems more of a masculine thing? Because there's so many men, especially in jazz. And I've been in situations at school programs and summer camps that I've been the only girl and 16 high school guys. It's been a little weird at times, but usually it's not. And I'm happy to say that now I'm seeing more and more young elementary high school girls who are playing saxophone and trumpet, girls who come up to me and are like, wow, that's so inspiring, and I play saxophone.
So Grace, you're 18 now. When you were 16, you left Brookline High School, got your GED, and enrolled in the Berklee College of Music.
Yes.
You've got your band.
Yes.
And you tour.
Yes.
So what's next for you? I mean, you've been in the world of jazz. Are there any other types of music that you might want to dabble in the future?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I love every type of music that I can get my hands onto, that I can listen to. My iTunes is full of just like all sorts of music. It's kind of funny. If you went through it, it would go from Charlie Parker to Yo-Yo Ma to James Taylor to Stevie Wonder to Earth, Wind & Fire. I'm a big 70s girl. I love 70s music. And also one of my dreams in the future is to really help bridge this gap of generations from people who are my age and also the people who grew up with jazz, who are more of my parents' generation or older. So I hope to be able to create my own personal sound. The question is how to organize and really make it into something that sounds like, oh, that's Grace Kelly, you know?
Well, I have no doubt that you will definitely be able to do that.
I'm glad I have your support.
Grace Kelly, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank
Likewise.
You so much for coming in
Thank
today.
Thank you. It's
do me
wonderful.
A favor. You want to play us out on something?
Sure.
There's one that you've got called Happy Theme Song from your latest CD, Mood Changes. You want to play us out on that?
Absolutely.
You can catch Grace Kelly live in concert tonight at Scullers, first at 8 p.m. and then again at 10 p.m. We'll be back after a short break. And up next, today's talker, we sit down and taste some dairy-free, meat-free cuisine, and we want to know what you think of Boston's vegan scene. Call us with your culinary questions, comments, and desires at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.